My guest at this time is Dr. Tim Keller. He is the founding pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City, and he is the author of the brand new book, The Songs of Jesus, A Year of Daily Devotions in the Psalms, which he wrote along with his wife, Kathy Keller. And Dr. Keller, thanks very much for being with us.
I'm glad to be here.
Good to have you back. What was it about the Psalms that got you not only interested in putting this devotional together, but led to such a deep study that ultimately led to the book?
Well, I've been using the Psalms myself for many years. I've been trying to learn how to pray through the Psalms. I try to get through them once a month in general and pray them, not just read them. My wife also over the years has found the Psalms have been the main way for her to get through difficult times. So it came together because over the years I've been trying to teach people how to pray as a pastor and realize that mostly I give them principles, I don't actually give them examples. And this is God's divinely inspired devotional book. I mean, these are divinely inspired prayers. This is God's way of showing us how to pray in every possible situation, whether angry or bitter or happy or sad. And so it seemed like just getting people through it verse by verse over a year was the best single way to teach people how to know God, walk with God, and pray. So that's why we wrote it.
One of the most amazing things about the Psalms, particularly the Psalms of David, is even in his darkest moments when he's eluding King Saul and his forces, that he'll pour out his heart about, God, why aren't you here? Where have you gone? But by the end of the Psalm, he's back to praising the Lord because he knows who the Lord is and what he's done for him. Talk about how that applies to virtually every challenge we face in life.
Well, that's right. You know, what's great about the Psalms, by the way, is that no matter, except for two, I'll tell you about those in a minute, almost always, no matter how bleak and angry or upset the psalmist is, whether it's David or anyone, whoever's doing it, they're extremely emotional. The Psalms are very emotionally honest. They speak with candor. They express their emotions in ways that I think most Americans even would feel not free to do in prayer. They are really, really candid. But then in the end, they always circle back and say, but here's who you are, God. I'm remembering who you are. So they're extremely honest about where they are, but then they're absolutely realistic about who God is. They do not keep, you know, they don't just ventilate their emotions. They bring their emotions to God, to the real God, and that's crucial because that's where we all ought to go to. But there are two psalms: Psalm 39 and Psalm 88, one by David, one by someone else. His name is. But there's two psalms that actually don't end. They're despondent, they're upset, but they actually end in darkness. They don't end landing on God. And I've always appreciated those psalms because it's almost like God is saying, look, the reason why those psalms are in the Bible is sometimes it takes a long time to land. Sometimes you may actually be in darkness for a pretty good while. And I've always thought those psalms were there because God knows how we speak when we're desperate. He's very understanding. So the psalms are remarkable in they push you to bring it back to God eventually. But they also show you that God really, really does not expect you to put on a happy face and to pull it all together within an hour or else. He's really quite understanding with how difficult it is to live life here.
There are certain psalms, of course, Psalm 22 in particular, which prophesy the work of Christ in the New Testament. But as a whole, how do you think the psalms best point the worshiper to Jesus?
Well, you just have to keep this in mind. Anytime the psalmist asks for deliverance, right? Deliverance, which is all the time. The psalmist always asking for some kind of rescue, some kind of help, some kind of deliverance. And what is that? That's some kind of salvation. Well, the ultimate fulfillment of any request for salvation is in Jesus Christ. So, you know, he might say, you know, the psalmist might be asking for forgiveness, but the ultimate forgiveness is in Christ. So he might be asking for joy, you know, the ultimate joy is knowing that we're in Christ. So whatever the psalmist is asking for, a Christian can always not only appreciate what he's asking for, but we can also know, boy, in Christ we have that in 100 times over. We have infinitely more than even what the psalmist was asking for. So there are some psalms like you suggested, Psalm 22 and others, that are messianic psalms. That is, they're really direct predictions of the Messiah. But in a sense, every psalm is pointing to Jesus because every psalm is asking for salvation.
There's also, of course, what are known as imprecatory prayers in the Psalms, where David and others blatantly pray for the destruction of their enemies, which some would say kind of goes counter to love your enemies. But how should we read those?
Yeah, great. Well, there's three things I would suggest. Number one is, first of all, we shouldn't be too quick to turn away from them because it does show that God cares about justice, right? I mean, you know, it's too easy to forget that God is a God who will put everything right in the end, and there will be a judgment day, and evil will not triumph. And those psalms are reminding us of that, so you can't turn away from that. Secondly, I'm a white American male, and I have not experienced a lot of violent persecution. In fact, I haven't experienced it at all. So when I see someone else talking like, "Oh Lord, you know, protect me from my enemies, destroy the evil perpetrators," if I turn away from them, I'm forgetting that right now, somewhere in the world, there are people who literally are in that situation. They are being oppressed. They are being persecuted. And for me to just say, "Oh, this is kind of creepy," I'm forgetting that there's people out there in the world that are experiencing this, and this helps me. This keeps me from being sealed off from them. It reminds me of what they're going through. It helps me see what they're going through, and it makes me, frankly, more of a more connected to the whole human race instead of locked in my own little cultural bubble. So, first of all, remember God is a God of justice, and secondly, remember people are oppressed. But then, thirdly, because we're Christians and we see the cross, and the psalmist could not foresee all that God was going to do in Jesus Christ. But what we can see is this, that the things that our enemies deserve, we deserve too. And the things we deserve fell on Jesus. And knowing that makes it easier for me to forgive. But one thing you got to keep in mind is the psalmists always say, "God, you take vengeance." The psalmists do not say, "Lord, go help me take vengeance." So in that sense, they really are leaving it to God. So the imprecatory psalms are actually more Christian than you think. They fit in with what the Bible says, vengeance, leave it to God. But we can't forget that God really is in the end going to do justice, and he's going to satisfy the oppressor. Just that Christians have a resource for forgiveness that the psalmist didn't have.
Dr. Keller, unfortunately, we'll need to call time there. Congratulations on the latest book. Thank you for sharing your ministry with us, sir.
Thank you.
Dr. Tim Keller is the founding pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City. Along with his wife, Kathy, he is the author of the brand new The Songs of Jesus, A Year of Daily Devotions in the Psalms. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.